Welcome to The Lobbying Show, a podcast about the people in government relations, how they got into it, what their jobs entail, what works, and what doesn't. I'm your host, Jim O'Brien. Here we are with another episode of The Lobbying Show. Before we get to the episode, let me tell you that you can sign up at thelobbyingshow.com for our Monday morning email. It goes out every Monday. Monday morning coffee with The Lobbying Show. You can sign up on our website, thelobbyingshow.com, and you can get our email every Monday. Today we bring you Hal Dash. Hal, we were out in LA and had the chance to sit down with Hal Dash, the chairman and CEO of Sorrell Associates, the iconic firm in LA. Everyone in California, and particularly LA, knows the firm. We heard the name many, many times when we were out there. The firm was started by Joe Sorrell, who, as a student at USC, would recruit presidential candidates, Democratic presidential candidates. Joe was a Democrat, and he recruited such candidates as Kennedy and Humphrey. And Hal talks about how the administration was a little bit more conservative back then, and I guess wasn't that happy that Joe was bringing these liberal candidates to campus. Very interesting. Hal has led the firm for many decades, and he talks about what's important for success in the business, working hard. He talks about how you get new clients, be out there meeting people in the community. And he also talks about their internship program and how proud he is of that internship program and how many people have gone through it and gone on to bigger and better things in California politics and other areas. And so I think you will really enjoy this interview. And so we bring you Hal Dash. Now we are sitting now with Hal, the head of the firm. So I guess where I was going to start with you, if you don't mind, we can start anywhere, but with the founder of the firm. Because, you know, people not from California may not understand the founder of the firm and the history there and what it really means here in California, which is quite significant.
Absolutely. Well, the firm was founded by Joe and Lee Sorrell, who was one of the first women political consultants in the country back in 1966. So we're in our 52nd year, my 42nd year with the firm. And Joe was born in New York, in Queens. His father was a fireman. His mother was a telephone operator. And he came out to California during his high school years because he had problems with asthma and breathing in the drier climate versus the cold and misty New York seasons. It was better for him in California. Being a native New Englander myself, I can identify.
Yes.
And so Joe came out here, went to USC, LA High School, was a really active Democrat at USC back in the 50s when USC was to the right of Attila the Hun politically. And he almost got thrown out of school for bringing all these Democrats to campus. Adlai Stevenson, John Kennedy, Hubert Humphrey, all kinds of people. And he's helped found the Trojan Democratic Club. And from SC, he went on to become the youngest director at the time of the California Democratic Party and making, you know, I think 20 or 30 bucks a week or whatever. It was just out of school, not much of an income. And he worked the 1960 Democratic Convention. And then Lee Sorrell was working also in Sacramento. She was working in state government and worked for Jess Unruh, the legendary Big Daddy Speaker of the California Assembly, who professionalized the legislature back in the day. And the two of them met, got married in 63, and founded the company in 66. And they were very close to John Kennedy, went to the inauguration. Kennedy hired the Sorrells to do every trip he ever made to California right through the time when he was president. And they were interesting. Sidebar, they were walking down the Champs-Élysées in Paris, November 22nd, 1963, when all the newsstands were plastered with the word of the assassination, and they came home, and Kennedy was really a part of their lives and was really a good friend. And they started their business with a couple of partners who ultimately went in other directions. And they started out as a political consulting firm for campaigns. And Joe's counterpart on the other side, who founded really Republican Consulting, Stu Spencer, legendary consultant.
Sure.
Joe got together with Stu for lunch one day, and he said to Stu, "So what do you do in the off season when there's not a campaign?" And Stu said, "Joe, get smart. Start consulting for corporations. They pay better, and it's all year round work, advising them on politics and government and elections and who's running and et cetera, how to get involved in the community." So they did. So 66 again, they started the firm, and from a political campaign consulting firm, it morphed into a total communications firm, lobbying, advocacy, environmental work, land use planning, local government, campaigns and elections, which is really the foundation of the firm. So that's a little bit about Joe and Lee. They both passed away, but they were both very legendary figures. And in this talk of women in politics and women's issues and all the issues that are swirling around us, it's really good to know that she really was a pioneer. And posthumously, we honored Lee at a big women's conference that we put on in her name at USC a couple of years ago. And wanted to give her a tribute. Everybody knew Joe, and Lee was always the quieter one, but she actually ran the business and was the brains of the business, and was always the one you came to for advice. She was an incredible woman, and was really a pioneer for women in this business. So that's a bit about the history of the firm. And now, as I said, we're 52 years old, and we're a full service public affairs, government relations, communications company.
So, how, as a student in college, how did he ever get Kennedy, Adlai Stevenson, Humphrey to show up at campus and speak? I mean, that's quite. Or how did he get to meet Kennedy?
Well, it's interesting. His mother was a very liberal Democrat, and his father, Italian fireman, was a very conservative Republican. But his mother was very strong-willed, and they grew up in the Roosevelt, Depression era. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Democratic Party was instilled in Joe by his mother and by the times. And he very believed in the democratic process and politics and the message of Roosevelt, which carried with him into the 50s at USC, and decided and went to USC, great political science department, but again, a very conservative school in the 50s, and decided we need some Democrats on campus. And when these Democrats came to town, he got involved in driving them around and doing their schedule. And at the same time, he had them come by and talk to USC students, and became very popular. But the conservative administration didn't particularly like it, and he almost got thrown out of school. And because they thought he was too much of a rabble rouser and too much of a left wing Democrat, but he finished, graduated USC, and then the rest is political history, which I just went through.
Boy, that is really interesting. You said you grew up in New England.
I grew up in Massachusetts and Springfield, Mass.
Okay,
birthplace of basketball and the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yes,
and a graduate of UMass Amherst, master's in. An undergrad degree in communications, and I was in radio, loved being on the radio doing sports and news, and came to California in 72 because I'd never been to California. Got a job in radio, worked there for 5 years, and that's where I met Joe Sorrell.
Okay.
He was one of the first political consultants to be on the air.
Okay.
You know, back in the early 70s, you didn't have consultants like you have today on every news channel.
Right.
So I used to interview him. He used to bring guests into the studio, a whole range of political figures and others. And I used to also interview him on election trends and what's happening in politics. So that's where he got to meet. Opening came up here for a communications person. And that seemed like an interesting job. And 1977, I started here, and I'm still here and own the company.
Wow. So you were a broadcaster.
Yeah, I did broadcast news, sports, Had my own talk show for a while at the old KHJ, which was RKO Radio in Los Angeles, which is no longer.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience because it was the number one rock station in America. So we got to meet and interview people like John Lennon, Elton John, and everybody up and down the line. So it was a pretty great experience.
Wow, I'll say. So you made the jump from radio to here. And because this seemed like a better, more long-term career opportunity and growth and all that.
You know, you live rating book in the old days in media, and you still do to a degree. And this sounded interesting. They had an opening for a communications director.
Yep.
So I basically wrote a ton of press releases, helped with news conferences, did some political stuff, and grew into the business. And it's become a great career. And it's interesting that I went to school, and one of the few people I like to say, well, actually practice what I studied in school as a communications major. So, yeah, it's the world of communications has always been fascinating. And anybody who's lived through the decades can see how the world of communications has evolved, the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. And it's nice to be in the middle of it, trying to do a good job in the public policy arena.
Yeah, and boy, it has changed in the last 5 years. It's incredible. We were talking earlier about, for instance, like the battles that Uber had to fight and engaging their customers in reaching out to regulators and the impact that has. I mean, it's really quite something. So what have been some of the more interesting campaigns that you've worked on?
Well, we've done a lot over
a lot. I saw recently you had an event with the senior senator from California, who's been in the news quite a bit.
We are, Joe Sorrell was a longtime confidant and a friend of Senator Feinstein, and I met her way back when and been a supporter, and I think she's done a great job for California. Kevin DeLeon has made his mark, a challenger in the environmental field, but at a time when California needs all the seniority can get. And a voice like Senator Feinstein, I think it's important that she be reelected. But she's very thoughtful and collegial. Tries to play both sides of the aisle. Although in the recent Kavanaugh confirmation hearing, you know, she could get very feisty too. Yep. And so it's been fun. We've worked pro bono when her staff has asked us to help on events and things like that over the years, and we've been supporters.
Yeah, when was she first elected?
She started out as a supervisor in the city and county of San Francisco in the 70s.
Okay.
And then when Mayor Moscone and Harvey Milk were killed, and Supervisor Milk were assassinated, she became mayor and then ran for senator in the first time she lost, and then ultimately became a senator in the 80s and has been around since. And I think she's the senior senator, by my recollection, currently in the United States Senate.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as you mentioned, you know, in Connecticut, we lost the senior senator, and now we have a new, young, dynamic senator who, you know, may run for president someday. But just as you said, we lost all that seniority at the time.
You're referring to Joe Lieberman.
No, Chris Dodd.
I'm Chris Dodd.
Who decided not to run, and then Chris Murphy
ran.
And it was just that. I mean, it's, you know, same party, two wonderful politicians.
Well, we represented the Motion Picture Association for a time.
Oh, okay.
When Chris Dodd was running it, and found him very dynamic.
Yeah.
And obviously very well connected, and he had a good run, and it was really a pleasure at times working for him.
I mean, yeah, I bet.
Locally when he came out here and on a few issues for the motion picture industry.
Okay. So you represent them. And so you, as you have touched on, you all do campaign management, community engagement, local lobbying, PR, crisis communication. I mean, you really are a full service public affairs firm, whereas other firms might specialize in one aspect of that. There's a lot of people that just do lobbying and do some PR, but you really are kind of the full breadth of everything.
Well, Joe Sorrell made the decision, and we've kind of helped evolve it, that it's good to be a full-service firm, because over the years, I think it's been shown to be true that if a firm hires you just to lobby for an ordinance or a bill or a project or whatever, there's oftentimes a lot more work you have to do. You know, you have to pay attention these days to the community in which you're doing business, or building a plant or even a retirement home or a school, because everything's controversial. And you have to know how to outreach to the community. You need to know how to communicate to the media, social media and traditional media. You need to know how to obviously advocate before the people who make a decision. And then, you know, you help clients if they have a crisis and some bad news comes out. You have to know how to manage that. So it's a thing we like to do and present to clients, and sometimes they oftentimes see the need. You know, we do have to cover this area. We just can't do this. We have to tell our message. We have to communicate. We have to put up a website. We have to have collateral materials. We need to have a robust community outreach program. Because one thing we've discovered over the years is that communities have become very professional. They know how to use website. They know how to use social media. They know how to do protests. They know how to get to the press. They know how to lobby themselves for an issue or a cause. And so it's important that we offer all those services to clients, because that's the atmosphere that we have today. And it's only growing in intensity as we go along. I think we've seen that over the last 10, 15 years in all kinds of issues.
Yeah. Now, is there one aspect of it that is the largest part of your firm, or are they kind of evenly divided?
It's kind of balanced, but we do a lot of advocacy work, direct, you know, lobbying of various governmental bodies.
Ballot initiatives?
We do campaigns with ballot initiatives.
What's that for? Most of our listeners do not live in, I don't even know how many states have ballot initiatives.
Well, Massachusetts adopted, and several states too, but
not many.
But California adopted the initiative at the turn of the century under Hiram Johnson when he was in governor of California, and he wanted direct democracy. Well, you know, you got to be careful what you ask for. In many respects, it's good. In another respect, a lot of entities game the system to put on issues, whether they favor the left or the right or down the middle or whatever. But it's created a great industry for us, you know, to run campaigns and spread messages, do community organizing, deal with the press, get editorials, op-eds, and all that kind of thing. It makes California's a 12-month-a-year campaign bastion. You know, if it's not an actual direct election, there's off-year elections. You know, there's local elections. And then you have to prepare for statewide elections, getting ballot initiatives. You collect hundreds of thousands of signatures in a state with, you know, 35, 40 million people. It's a big process, you know, developing plans. And
that's to get on the ballot.
So
what is the process?
You can either have the legislature can either put something directly on the ballot, or you gather signatures, a certain number of certified, verifiable signatures that then is placed on the ballot by the state.
And in the recently, there was a wealthy person who was creating a ballot initiative around privacy and data. And then we saw the legislature, I think, decided to pull that and worked with legislative leaders to create to help pass a bill.
Yeah. There are several things. Big business entities, the paint industry was going to go to the ballot with a big tax measure, and they finally cut a deal with the legislature to do legislation on remediating lead paint in communities. And it's happened in several other areas where people threaten big money initiatives, and they use it as kind of a hammer. You can debate you know, if that's good public policy or not.
But use it as leverage to get it
as leverage. But I think a lot of people would rather see, as opposed to big free spending special interests go on the ballot, they'd rather see a legislative solution, because that's what we pay our legislators to do. And you have the give and take and back and forth in committees, not just, you know, vote yes or no and the casual voter doesn't know and watches TV commercials. And I'm not knocking that, because we've been involved in that over the years. But, you know, it's direct democracy versus the legislative process, and I think there's something to be said for both, actually.
Yeah. Are there any, or how many ballot initiatives are on the ballot this November?
I believe there are 12.
12?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we've had as many as 20.
Wow.
Everything from veterans bonds in some years to funding for schools. This year we have a repeal of the gas tax for infrastructure. We have breaks for senior citizens in their homes and property taxes. We have even a battle between the dialysis industry and unions about unionizing dialysis clinics. We're involved, full disclosure, we're involved on the side of the industry to keep these clinics, you know, affordable for people who need dialysis and all that kind of stuff. And so there's a whole variety of there's rent control, big controversial rent control, getting rid of a long established called Costa-Hawkins law, dealing with the ability of cities to put on rent control. This would loosen it up. And of course, you've got the big landlord interests against the renters and the tenants. And, you know, California doesn't do anything small. Everything is full scale, full on civil war.
12 ballot initiatives. That's that's crazy.
Millions and millions and millions of dollars.
The TV ads must be just nonstop.
Totally nonstop. In between TV ads, they stop for programs once in a while.
That's great. So now you, your time, how much time is spent running the firm and how much time is spent, you know, managing clients and doing the work? It must take, how much staff do you have here?
We have 22 folks here.
Wow.
And about half my time is devoted, about 40% to running the company and about 60% to a combination of servicing some major clients, going after new business, being the face of the firm in certain areas, marketing the firm, et cetera. But I enjoy getting involved in big public policy debates and issues. But, you know, it's also important as an owner of a firm to maintain financial viability, make sure we have benefits and salaries, hiring the right people. You know, you become kind of an HR person along with our current HR person, but that's one of the things you do when you run a business. You know, you got to deal with the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs. But, you know, it's been a good ride because the job is incredibly fascinating, challenging. Every day is different, and it's not a cliche. You're dealing with 20 different issues, internal, external, client issues, finance, contracts, new business, putting on events, all kinds of things. We're planning a big event for our National League of Cities where we're going to get some baseball legends to come up with, to meet with politicians and have a big reception honoring some veteran Dodgers, and we'll have some big fun with it. So we do a whole range of things, and it's it really keeps you, I think, on your toes, but it keeps you fresh and alive. And I've never had a boring day in 42 years.
Wow.
Stressful, yes. Boring, no.
We can't ask for more than that. And you touched on marketing. For someone who has been in the business for as long as you have, you must know just about everyone involved in local and state government. But have you found things that work or don't work with marketing, whether it's social media or whatever? Some people, you know, it's personal and
all of the above. It's really true. We really advocate that our people get out and network and meet people. There's nothing like old-fashioned face-to-face interaction at conferences, events, parties, political fundraisers, nonprofit group dinners. We're always out pressing the flesh, introducing ourselves. Yet it's backed up by a very robust website where people go to, and we get a lot of business there because we've been around for so long. We get a lot of word of mouth referrals.
We have a brand.
We have a brand, and it's a trusted brand, and it's a good brand, and it's served us very well. And it's really an honoring our founder's name, and it still works. But yet, times change, and a lot of people don't remember who Joe Sorrell or Lee Sorrell were because of the younger generation and younger professionals and decision makers. So we're out involved in trade organizations, business organizations, social organizations. We contribute to community things. We contribute to political candidates. Yep. We're known in the political world, of course. And we do try to get involved, and, you know, we want to win for our clients, but we also want to make sure LA is a vibrant, strong, prosperous, equal opportunity community. And that's part of the challenge. And also, it's very, very rewarding to be part of that.
Well, not a boring day in 42 years. That's quite a statement. Well, Hal, we really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us. We've enjoyed it, and we'd enjoyed getting to know your firm. One last question. Do you, for the young people listening in L.A., do you have internships at your firm?
Yeah, and we're very proud of it. We have had, as long as I've been with the company, and it's now more formalized than ever. In other words, it's structured. We have most years in each semester, 4 to 6 interns.
Wow.
They come to us from the East Coast, this is the middle of the country, the South, the West. We get a lot of local interns from our great colleges here, and they run the gamut, USC, UCLA, Cal Northridge, Loyola, Caltech, and people interested in communications, political science. We have an intern coordinator. We have a vetting process. We do referrals. We pay.
Okay.
We this is not just free work. We pay pretty well. We pay certainly minimum wage, and we're very proud of that. And we have hired many of our interns. We just brought one back. One of our interns who did such great work. She got a fellowship for the summer in Sacramento to actually work for the speaker of the assembly in the communications office. And we said to her, hey, when you're done with your fellowship, if they don't hire you in Sacramento, give us a call. And she was interested. She talked to 2 or 3 other firms and decided she wanted to come back here. So it's like she never left, and she does fabulous work. And we've done that many times over the years. There are incredibly... You know, a lot of people criticize young people. We have had nothing but great, smart, intelligent, really mature interns over the years. And we're very proud that many of them have gone on to public service, law, work in politics, even gotten elected over the years, local school boards, city councils, started their own businesses, entrepreneurs. So, yeah, we are very proud of our intern program. It really is one of the cornerstones of our business. And we don't just let people staple papers and shuffle folders. They go out into the field, and they monitor meetings, and they come to events, and they write reports, and they go to client meetings, because that's how they learn. So yeah, it's been great, and I've really been very proud of our whole intern program.
Okay, well, we will, and they can just find out information about how to do that on the website, or just contact.
Yes, the website, or they can contact Sarah at Sarah at Cerell, CERRELL.com, Sarah Gutierrez, and she's our coordinator, and we get batches of resumes, and we welcome young people and are really thrilled that that they continue to apply really in big numbers.
Well, Hal, on that note, thank you. This has been great. We enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it very much.
There it is. What a great episode. Great to be out in sunny LA and sit down with Hal. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at The Lobbying Show. Also find us on Facebook. And don't forget, you can sign up for the Monday morning coffee with The Lobbying Show on our website, thelobbyingshow.com. Have a great week.